All right, so today we're going to be taking a deep dive into a case that should make anyone think twice about joint ventures. Imagine you get together with some friends. You pool your money together, invest in something that looks really promising, everything's going great, the profits are rolling in, and then bam, you find out your friends, your partners have been cutting you out of a lucrative side deal using the same investment you all went in on together. Betrayal, right? Well, this actually happened in the case of Sandvik versus La Crosse, a North Dakota Supreme Court decision that really drives home the importance of what they call finest loyalty, especially when it comes to oil and gas ventures.
It really is a fascinating case, and it just goes to show how important transparency and good faith are in any partnership. It doesn't matter what industry, what business.
Exactly. So let's set the scene. It's 1996, North Dakota oil fields. We've got Monta Sandvik, Jody Bragg, William La Crosse, and Frank Haughton. And they all decide to purchase these three oil and gas leases together, called the Horn leases. Seems like a pretty standard deal at first glance, right?
Yeah, it does. But there are a few details that make this particular case really interesting. First, they set up a joint checking account. It was called the Empire Oil JV account to manage all the money. Second, they bought the leases in equal shares, showing they plan to split the profits equally. And finally, even though the leases were technically held under La Crosse's company, Empire Oil Company, all four partners, they were all on the same page about selling those leases for a profit together as one unit.
Okay, so they were all in it together. They were expecting to split the profits equally. Sounds pretty straightforward, right? So where did things go south?
Well, this is where it gets a little bit complicated. Before those original Horn leases ran out, La Crosse and Haughton, they went behind everyone's backs and got something called top leases on that very same property.
Top leases. I've never heard of those. What are they?
Basically, they're like extensions to those original leases. So right when the original ones expire, the top leases kick in. You can think of it like this, like if you rent an apartment for a year, just before your lease is up, someone else comes in and secures a lease that starts the day yours ends. That's essentially what they did. They were trying to push Sandvik and Bragg out of the picture and make sure they got all the future profits from the Horn leases for themselves.
Wow. That's pretty sneaky. To make things even worse, La Crosse and Haughton had even tried to buy out Sandvik and Bragg's shares before, and they refused.
Right.
So it took 8 years. But Sandvik and Bragg finally figured out what was going on and sued for breach of fiduciary duty. So what happened in court?
Well, at first, the trial just focused on whether there was even a partnership or joint venture at all. And surprisingly, the court actually said no, and they just dismissed the whole case.
Wait, what? They shared a bank account, they were going to split the profits, they invested in these leases together.
Yeah.
How could that not be considered a joint venture?
I know, it's pretty surprising. That's exactly why Sandvik and Bragg, they appealed, and that's when the North Dakota Supreme Court stepped in to try and clarify things.
And I'm guessing this is where things get really interesting from a legal perspective.
Exactly. The Supreme Court, they actually overturned that lower court's ruling, and they said, you know what? A joint venture did exist here. They based this on the evidence we already talked about, the joint bank account, the equal shares, and the fact that they all planned to profit from selling those leases together.
So does this mean that anytime you have a joint bank account and split profits, you automatically have a joint venture?
Well, not exactly. It's not quite that simple. The court looked at a few different factors to come to their decision. They actually use what we call a four-part test. They look at contributions to the venture, if there's mutual control over the property, if there's a profit-sharing agreement in place, and any kind of contract, even if it wasn't written down, that shows an intent to actually form a joint venture.
That makes sense. But how did they determine mutual control in this case? Because La Crosse technically held the leases through his company, right?
That's a great question. What the court did is they looked beyond just like the legal paperwork, and they looked at how they actually operated in practice. So, for example, with the joint account, they needed unanimous agreement from everyone for any transactions, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, but these guys, they'd actually worked together on similar deals before using the same kind of structure, and there weren't any issues. So it showed a pattern. And lastly, the fact that they intended to split those profits, that really solidified the idea that they were sharing control, despite who had the title to the leases on paper.
So the court focused on the substance of their agreement, not just the technicalities of the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. Their actions and intentions spoke louder than just that one piece of paper.
Okay, so we've established that this was indeed a joint venture. But why was buying those top leases such a big deal? Why did the court decide that was a breach of their fiduciary duty?
Well, in a joint venture, you have a very high level of responsibility to your partners. It's all about, this idea of finest loyalty. You have to act in good faith, be completely honest, and always put the interests of the venture above your own, especially while the venture is still active. LaCrosse and Houghton, they had a duty to tell Sandvik and Bragg about the opportunity to buy those top leases and let them be a part of it if they wanted.
Couldn't they argue that the top leases were a separate thing, completely unrelated to the original Horn leases?
Not really, because those top leases directly affected the value of the original ones. They were set to start as soon as the others ended, so they were completely intertwined.
Right.
It created a huge conflict of interest, because LaCrosse and Houghton, they were actually better off if those original leases expired, so their top leases would become more valuable.
So they were basically betting against their own partners.
Exactly.
I remember reading that there was a dissenting opinion in this case. One judge didn't agree with the ruling.
That's right. Justice Crothers, he argued that maybe, just maybe, partners could limit their fiduciary duties if they made specific agreements beforehand. But the majority of the court, they said there was no evidence of any kind of agreement like that in this case.
So the bottom line is, even in the oil and gas business, joint ventures need transparency, communication, and good faith. Trying to pull a fast one on your partners is a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. You can't hide behind legal loopholes or technicalities when it comes to ethical behavior and your duties to your partners. The court made it very clear that this finest loyalty, it's paramount in a joint venture. And it's something everyone should keep in mind, no matter what industry they're in.
This case, it's a real eye-opener. It really highlights the importance of being upfront and having a clear agreement in place before you even start a joint venture.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The law, it usually recognizes these fiduciary duties in joint ventures, but it's always best to just spell it all out, you know, right there in the agreement, just to be safe. Things like the duty of loyalty, disclosure, avoiding conflicts of interest, it can really help protect everyone.
So it's like having a written reminder of the rules of the game, so to speak.
Exactly. When everyone's on the same page from the beginning, you can avoid a lot of those misunderstandings and potential fights down the road.
So for lawyers out there who are trying to help their clients avoid ending up in a mess like Sandvik versus LaCrosse, what are some practical steps they can take?
Well, first things first, you got to have a solid joint venture agreement. This agreement should lay out the whole scope of the venture, like define exactly what everyone's contributing, what the responsibilities are, and what happens if new opportunities come up.
So just a handshake and a verbal agreement isn't going to cut it.
Not a chance. You need things to be clear in writing, especially when it comes to joint ventures. A good agreement can prevent a lot of headaches.
Okay, what about these fiduciary duties? Should those be specifically written into the agreement as well?
Like I said, the law usually implies these duties, but it's always smart to reinforce them, write them down, you know, black and white, stating the duty of loyalty, disclosure, no conflicts of interest, that kind of stuff. It's like extra protection for your client.
Makes sense. Are there any other safeguards that lawyers should think about, including in these agreements?
Definitely. Setting up clear ways to communicate and make decisions is huge. Regular meetings, keeping good records, having a plan for dealing with disputes, that can all go a long way in preventing those little disagreements from turning into major blowouts.
So being proactive with communication is really key in a joint venture.
You got it. Open communication and being willing to address concerns head on can really help build trust and make sure everyone's working well together.
And I guess this case also shows how important it is to get legal advice early on.
Right. 100%. Getting a lawyer involved at the very beginning can help spot those potential problems and put safeguards in place before anything even happens.
Better safe than sorry, as they say. Especially with something as complex as a joint venture.
Couldn't agree more. Investing in legal guidance up front can save your clients so much trouble in the long run. It's all about preventing those problems before they even have a chance to start.
So Sandvik versus LaCrosse really reminds us that even those joint ventures that seem pretty simple at first can become a legal nightmare if you don't handle those fiduciary duties properly.
It's definitely a cautionary tale for both lawyers and business people. You have to go into a joint venture knowing what your legal and ethical responsibilities are.
Now let's shift gears a little bit. What kind of lasting impact do you think this case has had on the legal world, especially when it comes to joint ventures?
Well, Sandvik versus LaCrosse definitely solidified the importance of those fiduciary duties, especially loyalty and disclosing opportunities to your partners.
So would it be fair to say that this case has strengthened the legal protections for people in joint ventures?
Exactly. It sends a clear message that the courts are paying attention and they're ready to hold partners accountable if they break that trust.
Has this case actually changed how lawyers advise their clients about joint venture agreements?
I think it's definitely raised awareness. Attorneys are more likely now to stress the importance of transparency, communication, and having a formal way of dealing with new opportunities that might come up during the venture.
So you'd say that this case has actually had a real impact on how lawyers practice law?
I think so, yeah. It's made the legal counsel in joint ventures more robust, more focused on protecting everyone involved.
What about the oil and gas industry specifically? Has Sandvik versus La Crosse had a particular impact on that sector?
I think in oil and gas, it serves as a warning, a reminder to be diligent, ethical, especially in an industry that's so fast-paced and competitive, you know.
It's a good reminder that making money should never come at the expense of your partners or ethical obligations.
Absolutely. Sandvik versus La Crosse, it makes it clear that ethical behavior isn't just good business, it's a legal requirement.
This deep dive into Sandvik versus La Crosse has been really informative. We've uncovered some valuable lessons here for lawyers, business folks, and anyone who's thinking about doing a joint venture.
I agree. It really highlights the importance of trust, transparency, and loyalty. Those are the cornerstones of any successful partnership.
Now, before we wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. The court in Sandvik versus La Crosse, they really emphasize the idea that the duty of loyalty, it continues while the enterprise continues.
Right. That phrase really shows how these fiduciary duties, they're not just a one-time thing, they're ongoing.
But what about when a joint venture is winding down, you know, coming to an end? Do those duties just disappear?
That's a great question, and a lot of people don't think about that. The intensity of those duties might decrease as things wrap up, but the core ideas of loyalty, disclosure, good faith, those still apply.
So even during the breakup, so to speak, the partners can't just abandon their ethical and legal obligations to each other.
No, not at all. Acting in the best interests of the venture, avoiding self-dealing, those are still important right up until the very end.
It really is like, you know, it ain't over till it's over. But even then, you've still got those responsibilities to your partners.
Yeah, it's about sticking to those ethical rules all the way through, from the very beginning to the very end.
Well, this has been a really interesting look at Sandvik versus La Crosse. Lots of lessons here for anyone thinking about getting into a joint venture.
Absolutely. And it really highlights, like we've been talking about, those key things, you know, clear agreements, open communication, and that commitment to your fiduciary duties. These are the building blocks of trust. You know, they're not just legal terms.
And I think what's important, too, is that these legal principles, you know, they're not just abstract ideas you memorize in law school. They're practical tools to help make sure things are fair, transparent, you know, in business.
Well said. Sandvik versus La Crosse, it's definitely a case every lawyer should know. It's like a tool in your belt when you're dealing with joint ventures.
So for our listeners, what are some of the things they should really take away from this case?
The biggest one, I think, is don't underestimate that joint venture agreement. Make sure it's super clear. What's the scope of this whole thing? What's everyone's role? What are they responsible for? What happens if some new opportunity pops up? Don't just rely on those implied duties. Put it in writing. Loyalty, disclosure, no conflicts of interest. It protects everyone involved.
It's like building a house. You need that strong foundation. You need the blueprints, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make sure everything's solid and everyone's on the same page.
Perfect analogy. And like we talked about, communication is key too. Checking in regularly, keeping transparent records, having a plan for resolving disputes. Being upfront and communicating well can prevent so many issues.
And if things do go bad, Sandvik versus La Crosse shows us the courts are there to enforce those duties.
Right. It sets a precedent. Partners can and will be held accountable if they break that trust.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening. It's a fascinating case from a legal perspective, but it's also incredibly relevant for anyone who's working in a collaborative business setting.
It's been great discussing this case with you. It's always interesting to take a look at these legal cases and see how they actually play out in the real world.
And for our listeners, we hope this conversation has given you a better understanding of joint ventures, why those fiduciary duties are so important, and some practical steps you can take to protect yourselves and your clients.
Remember, whether you're putting together an agreement, advising clients on opportunities, or even dealing with a dispute, Sandvik versus La Crosse, it gives us a roadmap for navigating these sometimes tricky joint ventures.
Transparency, communication, and that finest loyalty to your partners. Those are the key takeaways. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep into the world of law and business.